Hey.
Hey. We're the monkeys.
Hey, hey, we're the monkeys.
People say we monkey around.
People say we monkey around.
I'm too busy podcasting to put anybody down.
Put anybody down.
Now, what about that bush? Okay, start the show.
Welcome to the Jabbercast with Big JD and Lippo. Talk radio on the go, where we talk about anything and everything with a new topic every week. From the awesome candy you ate as a kid and sibling rivalry to public restrooms, coffee versus tea, and who reads on the toilet. You get it all here at the Jabbercast Podcast. Talk radio on the go. Listen when you want and where you want. Copyright 2006, Big JD and Lippo. All rights reserved. Listener feedback encouraged. Some conditions apply. Open mind sold separately.
Hello and welcome to the Jabbercast. This is show number 13 for the week of
December 11th, 2006. I'm Lippo.
And I'm Big JD.
How's it going, Big JD?
Going okay.
That's good. It's going good over here, too.
That's good.
Another sunny Sunday morning in Jabbercast Studios.
And another year older.
Well, another year. No, it's another week. It's the lucky 13th show.
For you, I mean.
You don't find number 13 lucky?
Oh, you're avoiding it.
Avoiding number 13?
Number 13 is not a lucky number.
For some people, it is.
Actually, it'd be nice to do a show on superstition.
Very superstitious. He doesn't mention number 13 in that song, if you notice.
No. The Black Cats and
Walking Under Ladders.
Sure.
Yeah, let's do a show on superstitions. I would love to.
That would be a good show. There's all kinds of them, and old wives' tales and things like that.
You want a pen so you can write that down?
Nope.
I'll write it down.
I have a
photographic
superstitious memory.
Superstitious memory.
Photogenic.
You have a photogenic memory.
Photogenic. The Big JD Super Dictionary Show. Dictionary.
But what is our lucky 13th show going to be on?
Well, it's going to be a wonderful show on politics.
Wonderful!
The politics of
dancing.
The guy that buys a Hummer and tells everybody he's got a Jeep now? That kind of politics? No, not that kind of politics.
What kind of politics is that?
The kind of politics that the city won't fix any of the roads because then city workers will be out of work? No, not that kind of politics.
It could be.
It's all politics.
That's
all politics, sure.
Yeah. We're talking about real politics, like governmental politics.
Mental. You hit the nail right on the head there.
But we could do company politics on another show. Or
sure. I think everything, there's politics are involved in many, many, many different things.
Including dancing.
Sure. How?
She wants to dance with me, but I really want
that. Oh, that political dancing, isn't that the one where you rub your butt on all over somebody?
Exactly. No, seriously.
Dirty dancing.
We live in a democratic country. We vote for the politician we want to get into office to make the decisions for us.
We do?
Yes, we do. Do you vote, Jeff?
Sure.
Did you vote in the last municipal election?
No.
You didn't vote for mayor and wards and councilors?
No, I didn't.
No.
That's no time.
It's about time, is that what you said?
No time.
Oh, you have no
time to vote.
Whatever. That is the lamest excuse.
Well, when I'm 18, I'll vote.
Well, obviously, you're not voting
when I'm 18
until
again.
You die. Because you'll never be 18 again. So, is there something wrong with voting? Or you just think it's a waste of time? Is that what it is? It's not important enough to go out?
Well, no, I guess I can't say that. I think it probably is fairly important. I don't know where to vote.
That's your excuse again. I don't know where to vote.
I don't know. I probably have a few more excuses.
Because about 50% of the people, on average, don't vote.
Right.
Half the people who are eligible to vote don't vote. And actually, that's more than half the people that are actually being affected by the whatever government you're electing.
And it's the half that don't vote are probably the ones that complain the most about who got into, who got elected for whatever.
Maybe. Maybe not. I'm not. Depends what kind of politics we're talking about. Just recently, here in this area, we had municipal elections.
Mm-hmm.
So and every city and town voted for their new mayors and councilors and stuff like that. That's the kind of politics I really enjoy, because you can, it's someone you've talked to and you see them on the street, you see them drive by. These are people you vote in, and you can directly see what kind of stuff they're doing or not doing, and you can talk to them and give them crap or mm-hmm. do whatever. What do you think of the way your municipal, since you live in a different municipality than I do, how do you think they're, what kind of job they're doing?
Suppose it's okay.
Do you feel you're not affected by city politics?
I don't think so directly I am. I mean, indirectly, some things, I suppose, but...
Because these are the people who say how much taxes you're going to pay and stuff like how much...
Yeah, well, the way I look at it, no matter what, I'm getting raped. Well,
don't be so specific.
Governmentally.
Well, I think the biggest rapage happens in when we buy anything. You know, we're paying now 14% tax on every single thing we buy. Do you think that's not a good thing?
Well, it's a great thing. Our taxes went down. It's down, a beautiful thing. Down a penny.
Down one penny.
Wasn't it great when they actually added the GST?
I don't know if was it great. I think that's a ripoff, because you know how much money they have because of the GST?
There's, you know, so how much money they have anyway?
Yes, they do.
To maintain their...
What, their lifestyle?
That's it.
They get money based on their salary.
Yeah, I suppose, but there'd be cutbacks in them if they didn't get the money from us somehow. We support them. It's like a non-profit organization. They just get money from people, and everything that they do and everything that they make is just from us. A little bit different than the working class, you must admit.
It is
not quite the same.
It's not the same, no. They have a...
They don't want any cutbacks in government.
Oh, no.
In any level.
Government, and like people who work in the government, including our leaders, they typically vote themselves a raise. Imagine if you could do that.
Sure.
I think...
I'd make so much money right now, it'd be just filthy rich.
I don't think I'm making enough money. Everybody here who's in government with me, who agrees that I'm not making enough money?
That's right.
Oh, everybody. Okay, let's give ourselves a raise. What else are they supposed to do? Actually, there's a thing in the paper just recently about the Ontario MPPs. They are not making as much, or anywhere. They're making half as much as the federal MPs, mm-hmm. and including the Premier of Ontario. He's making far less than a fresh guy who just got into Ottawa.
So what do they propose?
Well, they propose to get a raise.
And how are they going to do that?
Well,
the people are going to suffer somehow. That's where they'll get the money. Things will go up. Something will go up.
Based on their rates, there's not that many people.
Let's start with gas.
Yeah, no, gas.
Let's raise
gas,
some gas
is definitely
and we'll
a political
raise some
thing.
Taxes, and we'll take more from Paul and give it to Peter.
The amount of money that the MPs and the MPPs make isn't really, that's not going to affect us anyway. You know, they're making $100,000 a year, let's say. Mm-hmm. You know, and there's only a few hundred of them. That's minuscule compared to some programs that they implement that go right into some lobbyist pocket.
Yeah, and somebody skims off all that.
Oh, there's skimming going on for sure. Which gets us into, I wanted to talk about the lobbyists, and that's the whole thing about politics. Big companies and big interests, you know, medical interests or tobacco interests or environmental interests, basically they go to your politicians. This is true in the States and in Canada. They go to your local politician and the head of parties and say, we will vote for the Liberals or the Democrats or whatever the case may be, and we'll give you this money. You get in, and when you get elected, you fix this up. Basically, that's the way it works. How is small Joes like you and me supposed to have any effect on government policy if they're being fed millions
of dollars? That's
politics. That is politics
to me. That's the meaning of the word.
Has nothing to do with being represented, I don't think. It doesn't matter who you put in there. There is some lobbyist who's already paid off the guy that you voted in.
It's all deals.
That's all it is deals. That's right. I agree. So is there something we can do about it?
Is there something we can do about it? Voting doesn't help.
Voting doesn't help? That's right. Voting doesn't help. We almost need a revolution.
I'm sure. We need guns.
Guns. That's the whole thing. Which is another point I wanted to bring up about the Americans and their gun thing. Why are they so adamant about keeping their guns?
Because they're adamant about rights.
That's right. That is correct. Yes, they are adamant about rights.
And the people enforce their rights. We here
in Canada
are not as patriotic, I don't believe.
No.
And we don't enforce our rights like Americans do. And we don't seem to stand up for our rights like Americans do. Sure, we stand up for rights to a point, but not patriotically. like the Americans.
Exactly.
Very patriotic.
So what is the thing behind guns? What is the...
Charlton Heston.
Charlton, he's the head of the... What is it?
NRA.
NRA, that's what it is.
And he's also in Planet of the Apes.
Yes, he is.
And he found the Ten Commandments.
He did.
He's a big, important man.
Yeah.
Did you know the last Planet of the Apes movie, actually? Hate to get off politics topic, but the last Planet of the Apes movie, he was the main ape's father. He was an ape in the last Planet of the Apes movie. Kind of neat. Short, small role that he had in it, but isn't that something?
I think I remember that now that you say it.
Okay, Jabber quote of the week.
No, I want to get behind the gun thing.
I'd like to get behind a gun, too.
And who did you shoot?
I don't know. I just started the top of the block and
But you would just shoot bullets around their heads. You wouldn't actually shoot somebody.
No. Yeah. Wouldn't actually shoot.
You'd want to scare somebody.
Remember the old Star Trek guns when you were a kid and they had the little discs that they shot out?
Oh, yeah.
Those were neat. Okay, Jabber quote of the week.
You're insane. No, I want to get back to the gun thing.
Right.
The reason that Americans are so adamant about their guns is because it was put into the Constitution.
Well, sure.
And now that was the kind of thing I want to get to. Why did they put that in the Constitution? The right to bear arms. Are they a bunch
of... A lot of Americans like to run around sleeveless. And, so they want the right to bear arms.
And what about their legs?
The right to bear legs.
It's important because they want to make sure that if something... This is why they wrote it in the Constitution. If something happens to the country that we're living in, where it gets to the point where it's exactly the same way it was what we just left. Basically, we had to fight our way to get this country away from England. And the only way we did it was we broke the law and got guns. Because when we were living over in England, you couldn't own a gun unless you were part of the army.
Mm-hmm.
So they want to make sure that if the government gets as bad as it is over there, we want to make sure as a people we have the ability to rise up and start again.
But whether you had the right or not to bear arms, you would bear them anyway if you wanted to.
They wanted to make it built in. So there's no getting them illegally. We got them in our drawer. We're ready to go, ready to fight for our freedom in this country because the government has gone corrupt, gone bad. So that is the main reason why they want to carry. They believe in carrying guns so that if things gets too shitty, which I think they're at the point where they've gotten right out of hand, Americans should rise up. It's time for a revolution.
You say you want a revolution.
You got a revolution.
You say you want a revolution.
Exactly.
Well, you know. We all want to change the world.
I don't know that I want to change the world. I'm glad I'm sitting over here in Canada. But as an American citizen, I can see the country's just gone down the tube since the Bushmeisters got in there. It's in a bad way.
Yeah, well, do you want to talk about the way that the world's going? It's on its way down, for sure. And there's nothing that's going to change that, revolution or no revolution.
Some kind of savior can come down and come through the pipe.
Yeah, that's another show.
The Savior Show?
Mm-hmm. But who is the Savior?
Big JD, the Savior. Hey,
see this halo?
That was kind of my main thing, the whole gun politics thing. What do you think of the political setup here in Canada as compared to the setup in the States? We don't vote for our head of state. We don't vote. Over here in Canada, we have a prime minister. In the United States, they have a president. And when you go to vote in the States, you vote for a president. You actually vote for the head honcho dude. But over here, we vote for a party. And if that party gets the most votes, the leader of that party gets to be the... So we don't actually vote directly. What do you think of that whole deal?
As far as how everything works... I just thought the way that it works over here in Canada was kind of Mickey Mouse compared to the States. The U.S. always seemed like the real way that everything works, and a president and all that sort of stuff, big, elaborate government political setup. And over here, it's like, what's our guy called again? A prime minister?
Prime minister. It's taken from the English, of course.
Yeah, well, it's...
See, we kept ours, and the States
wanted even that's to. Not... I mean, New England, they got the kings and queens and all that good fun stuff.
That's true. Well, we still have the queen and king here too. Who's on our money?
Well, yeah, a queen. I suppose, but
and we have somebody who reports.
But now we have the king and queen set up, and we have the big prime minister and everything set up. So,
well, it's all tied in. The prime minister reports to the governor general. The governor general reports to the queen. We're still all tied into the state, into Britain, as it were. But we're trying to break away, obviously, slowly but surely, as a country. Then
we're
the
not
whole...
breaking away from anything. We're just going to be part of the United States in a matter of time, probably.
Yeah, we're magnetizing towards the States and going away magnetically away from Britain. we're slowly losing some of that.
I don't think it's us breaking away from anything. I think it's, though, that it's us having to kind of conform to another way that's another standard that's going to be, I suppose, somewhat in our benefit in the future.
I think so. Would you rather live in the States?
Well, I probably will live in the States. I'm entitled to live in the States and obtain citizenship because of...
Oh, is that right? Okay.
So I'm actually in the process of that right now.
You just feel you want to move there more for opportunity-wise?
Partially opportunity, but partially weather.
Weather is a big consideration as it's like 30
moving out west,
here.
And I prefer to live Western United States than Western Canada. I've always preferred their history and their patriotism and their way of life a little more than us being, I suppose, so laid back and having, I find, a little less history than, or less exciting history than the United States.
Sure.
It's always been intriguing, their history. And their battles and wars and everything.
But how about that George Bush guy?
I'm mixed about that.
You're mixed about George?
I don't know if I can 100% condone everything that happens. And I'm, you know, pretty much 100% convinced that there's other agendas that him and other presidents and people in power do have. However, I think his family is, and he as a president is strongly authoritative. And I think the United States needs that in a president. I don't think that they can have a passive president more along the lines of like what maybe Clinton was.
Jimmy Carter,
or some of the people that were running like against Bush and whatnot. Like maybe even Al Gore. I think Bush is authoritative and powerful. I'm sure there's a lot of people behind him that have as much to do with what we see from behind the scenes, but...
He's not very smart, though.
He's not necessarily very smart, but you can be dumb and still make powerful decisions,
right?
But not be afraid of using the power or declaring war. It's not every president that's going to declare war, but
no.
Even if they should declare war.
So you think there were some fraidy cat presidents out there that might?
Well, sure, there have been.
Yeah,
and sure, a lot of, and they're running are. Lieberman, is Lieberman a powerful
Jew?
I don't know that he or Gore or. Some of the other people are that. I keep wanting to use the word authoritative, but...
I think our listeners can get a grasp on what you're trying to say there, yes.
Bush is not afraid to make a powerful decision. Neither was his father.
No. I think his father had more character, you know, the integrity.
Sure he did, yeah.
That's the thing I think is lacking in Bush.
But nobody's ever going to forget George W.
That's right. He definitely made his mark on... on American history, yeah. No question.
Whether some of it was comical and or some of it was just big political moves, but he made some big decisions. He's not afraid to show that America will stand up for
what they believe is right.
I suppose maybe what I'm not 100% convinced that it's standing up for what all the people believe is right.
No, no, but what he thinks is
what he
right
thinks, or and I'm not even 100% sure that that's right. But
exactly.
He's not afraid to stand up. And show power. And I think United States need that. I think probably every country needs that. But in a way, you got to be glad that not every country does that. Otherwise, there'd be wars, more wars than there are. And some of the bigger, more powerful countries would be at war because everybody's so powerful and authoritative. And not everybody's like that.
Yes.
I mean, you know, Canada's doesn't make big... Well, I'm sure, I mean, we decide to follow along or whatever. But, you know, we're not powerful world leader like Bush is.
No, they have.
He might tongue twist some of his sentences and so forth, but he's not afraid to stand up, and that's what they need.
I just don't think he has enough integrity, I guess. That's my main thing. His motives seem not as clear as they should be.
I'm not convinced the motives are 100% right, but you just know that the United States, under the leadership of George Bush,
yes,
is not going to be afraid to fight, not going to be afraid to go to war, not going to be afraid to take over something that if they... feel that it's required.
Right.
But under the leadership of others in the past, there are some that may have run against him. I don't think I'd feel as, especially if I was an American citizen and living in the United States, I would maybe feel more vulnerable if it was somebody else.
Hmm.
Or maybe feel more threatened by others against the United States. If somebody in real strong power that I knew it wasn't afraid to have my country fight. And, you know, unfortunately, they have to fight sometimes, and there are wars, but even if there aren't wars, at least you know that there's a power there that isn't afraid to
step up. That's pretty interesting. Okay. Jabber quote?
Sure.
Jabber quote, jabber quote, jabber quote. Jabber quote, jabber quote, jabber quote. Loose sink ships. Stitching tabs in nine. One in the hands with two in the bush.
Jabber quote, jabber quote, jabber quote. Jabber quote, jabber quote, jabber quote.
Say something politically famous.
Something politically famous.
Not political politics.
How about here? Ooh. Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. JFK.
I love it. You always see you pull a rabbit out of your hat every single time. That's why I'm glad you're my podcast host. Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
John F. Kennedy.
That's right. Now, there was a president.
That was a president.
He wasn't afraid.
He wasn't afraid of anything.
No.
Yeah, some of the presidents back in the day were powerful men, powerful leaders.
Sure. Now, he had a lot of character. He was in pain all the time. He lived under the influence of a lot of drugs. But when it came time to making decisions or being in a situation where he could not be on drugs, he just lived with the pain.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it was excruciating. But that's the way he lived most of his life, was in pain. It's kind of a sorry state of affairs. But yeah, the jabber quote of the week is from John F. Kennedy. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean?
To not so much expect all the great things from your country if you're not willing to make great things happen.
Oh, there's a good way to look at it. If you're not willing to make great things happen, that's a good way to do it. As opposed to what I was thinking was, you know, don't think that your country is a slave to its citizens. A country is only as good as its citizens.
A country is the citizen, sure.
That's right. So be a good citizen, basically, is what I thought of. Be a good citizen. Make your country a better country by doing something to prop it up. Make it a build something. Do something good
exactly.
for this country.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what JFK was saying. And he definitely, he had some big ideas. Going to the moon, that was his idea.
Sure, he made some things happen. He was asking what he could do for his country.
That's right. And he wasn't afraid of the Russians either when the Bay of Pigs thing came about.
Mm-hmm.
And he was ready to take us down the darkest path that we could have probably have gone down with the,
sure.
the nuclear ordeal and everything. So that's a good, I love that saying. That's a good mantra for anybody. Canadians, Americans, Mexicans.
Fairly well-known saying as well.
Very, very well-known for sure. Oh, we want to mention who our jabber quote is from?
Sure.
It's from Big JD. No.
They're all from Stephen Larry. So what do you think about Bush? What do you think about U.S. administration? What do you think about it as, from a standpoint of you being an American citizen? Because I'm not an American citizen.
Yes, I'm an American.
You are an American citizen.
Living in Canada.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel about that power? And how do you feel about that actually being the country you're from? And how does that fit in with you not being in that country now?
I think as I grew up, I really...
Do you feel that that's that country? Or do you feel that that's your country?
I feel it's
first
that,
of all.
It's that country.
Okay.
Yeah. Living in Canada for most of my life.
Since you're a kid?
A pretty young kid, yeah. 6 years old, we moved over here.
Okay, yeah. Yes. So that's a long time.
Yeah. So, you know, I always thought that maybe someday I might move over there because I was an American citizen. There was more opportunity over there or whatever. But as I grew up as a kid, though, I always thought as the American government was... They were to be trusted, and they were looking after us, and they had our best interest in mind. And, you know, I always looked to them like mm-hmm. that. But then as I got older, like most people who get older, they get cynical.
Mm-hmm. And wiser.
And wiser, I guess, yeah. And I realized that's not the case. And it's like in the days of John F. Kennedy, you know, that's the persona, and the media treated the government that way.
And honestly, I think it was a little bit different at the time. It wasn't only their own agenda. They wanted to make a statement for their country, period. They were still under the belief that this is the United States of America.
We're the shit.
We rock.
Yeah.
You know, kind of thing. Whereas now, I think there are some hidden agendas maybe, and I guess... but I still personally would have to look at it from the standpoint that even if that power has their own agenda to make that country whatever it is, or their power whatever it is, in a way, that helps us. Sometimes, in a way, it doesn't. You can look at it from both sides.
Sure. Yep.
That it's, you know, this stinking U.S. is, you know, trying to overtake the world or whatever. Or you can look at it from the point that, you know, nobody's going to screw around with us.
Right.
Because we rock.
Yep.
Well, either way, I guess you can. I don't think you can win for losing.
Oh, no. There's no win for losing.
No. There's either you're looked at one way or you're looked at the other. And the way I look at it, you might as well have the power if you're going to be looked on as a bully.
A world bully.
At least be able to back it up.
Yes, and they can definitely do that. I honestly think there is some kind of hidden agenda that we don't know anything about. That is, its main thing is to...
Well, there's one beyond that as well.
No, don't say that.
There's the hidden agenda that we don't know about, that all these big... The power and the government and big companies and the oil and, you know, all these different things and all the countries that are involved, the way that the government is involved with other governments and those sort of things.
Yes.
That's a hidden agenda for one thing.
Okay. And do you think that 9/11 was part of that hidden agenda?
I think there was something fishy about 9/11 for sure.
Okay.
Yeah. 100% convinced that.
Me too.
I'm not 100% sure whether it was, I don't think it was, there may be have been terrorists involved in some way, but I think whatever their involvement was even had something to do with government probably.
Like,
but I think there's a hidden agenda possibly above the hidden agenda.
Yeeks.
I think there's something else there that's going on.
Really?
Whether it was something known from past times.
Right.
Or...
There's some dirty little secret way back there, you're thinking.
Yeah. Or it's a new technological, spiritual things that we don't know about.
Wow.
That I think that we'll find out at some point in time. But I think there's something else going on as well. So, you know, whether everything's written to happen or everything's happening for some other reason, I think there's something behind everything.
So do they talk about stuff like that on Coast to Coast?
Sure do.
Do they?
That's
cool.
You know what the good thing about it is? The people that they talk to, very reputable people.
Mm-hmm.
They're all professors, you know, from the biggest universities or the most well-known or advanced people in their fields that hold the highest degrees.
Right.
That they discuss all their things with. They're mm-hmm. not just, you know, Joe Blows.
Right.
Sometimes some of them are heads of different organizations and things that are looking into this or looking into that or developing this and nanotechnology and all kinds of things. And that's good too.
Special interests.
Yeah. And a lot of the things that are, you know, they're really going on or happening or they're making advancements and stuff like that. They don't usually have anybody that's just a crackpot on there or anything like that. It's awesome discussion. It's great. And you find out a lot of news on there that you wouldn't find out elsewhere.
Right.
You know, it's not something that's just broadcast as news. It's a lot of things that people like the government wouldn't discuss or want you to know about.
Right.
Those are the kinds of things they talk about. And it's, I think, a good way to find out a lot of that information through a station like that,
sure.
A talk show like that. So
one topic we can kind of just finish off with is how the media plays into politics and how is the media a slave of political forces or are the political forces bending to media?
Well, I think it goes both ways.
You think it goes both ways?
I think politically they'll portray certain things to the media so that that's what we get out of it.
Oh, right. Yes.
I'm sure somewhere, somehow along the lines of government working with media is another whole scenario. I'm sure that that stuff goes on as well. There's deals made everywhere.
Right.
It's all about... And I don't think that's...
there's deals. That's what I'm thinking about. There's those same companies that are lobbying the government.
And then there is media, though, that there's people that try and... that are involved in media that try and, you know, crack certain cases or... get to the truth. And that's one thing I think about a show like Coast to Coast does.
Right.
Is there,
that's not mainstream,
you know,
media.
It's, yeah.
That's why they're on at, what, 2
Left-wing,
o'clock in the morning?
Yeah, probably part of the reason because maybe they don't get... Well, that's not... That's the time that they're on here. That's actually... I think they start at 9, 10 o'clock or something like LA time normally. But it's just so late here, it's different. I mean, the time changes. Puts it on in the middle of the night. And then, of course... There's some places that are probably going to get it at 7, 8 o'clock in the evening.
Okay.
So it's not just a hidden radio show, you know what I mean?
Right. So, I was just going to say that the media is run by companies that give them money for advertising, of course. And it's those same companies that are lobbying the government to pass laws that will be advantageous to them. So it's all about...
Politics comes into play everywhere.
It's all about the money.
So, sure. Money makes the world go round. And there's another show, money. Money is the root of all evil. Money makes the world go round. And money can buy happiness. Next week on...
No, it's not going to be next week.
Not going to be next week.
But what is going to be next week?
Next week isn't it the Toy Story?
Yes, next week we're going to talk about toys. Toys we enjoyed as a kid. New toys that are coming out. Crazy stuff toys that are great for adults. Speaking of stuff up
crazy
your ass.
Crazy stuff toys.
Crazy stuff toys.
Oh, okay.
I used to play Barrel of Monkeys by myself in my bedroom all the time.
Oh, I'm just sure
to count,
I did too.
Just to count how many I can.
You remember Tinker
there.
Toys? The wooden things with the holes in them
with
and
the wheels
and
holes,
you put everything together.
We're going to talk about that next week. Yeah. Sure. So if you want
ahead of ourselves.
If you want to add your 2 cents to the show, go to the website, thejabbercast.com. Go to the contact page. And on there, you'll see a My Chingo little widgety thing in there. Very self-explanatory. Just click the leave us a message button and talk into the microphone that's either built into your computer or if you have an external one, leave us a message and we'll get it and maybe include it on the show.
Yeah, we made it real easy for you to contact us and leave us your opinion or a topic of discussion, something for an upcoming show, something for a future show. Get a hold of us from the contact page.
For sure. And if you want to email us, you can email us, and that's hear me out. That's hear like as an H-E-A-R, me out at thejabbercast.com.
And you can get on the show live if you want from AIM, iChat, MSN, Skype. Our username is thejabbercast for all those different avenues.
Yeah, and we have it open every Sunday morning at 10:30.
Yep, so you can get on the show live, and you'll be on the show with us.
That'd be fun.
Yeah, so we'll see you next week for Toy Story.
See you then. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
Yes, it's the Jabbercast Podcast. Talk radio on the go. You can visit us on the web at thejabbercast.com. You can email Big JD at thejabbercast.com or Lippo at thejabbercast.com. As well, you can get involved with the shows by sending text emails and audio emails to hearmeout@thejabbercast.com. Copyright 2006, Big JD and Lippo. All rights reserved. Listener feedback encouraged. Some conditions apply. Open mind sold separately.